Can ChatGPT tell you what your curse is? Apparently now, not only is it taking over the world and taking over jobs, it's also a psychic, apparently.
Okay, so wait a minute. So can it tell me what my curse is as far as like if I feel I'm cursed and have bad luck?
Producer Julie, what's going on? She'll explain.
Yeah. So it's a trend right now. People are asking ChatGPT what their curse is, but they ask it not to explain. So it gives you a brief response. And then once it gives you that response, you say why. And it tells you more. And it's very deep.
Wait a minute. I'm going to ask it what exactly?
You ask ChatGPT,
yeah.
What is my curse?
What is my curse?
At the end of it, you say, don't explain.
Don't explain.
Don't explain.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, it's okay.
Raven,
it's
what's your curse?
Loneliness.
Oh.
That's what it says. One word. This thing is looking right into me.
Oh, gosh. God,
that's heavy.
Well, I'm going to ask it why again.
Why?
I don't know why.
He's keep
why?
Asking
one
it.
One time.
But
it's not your therapist, Raven.
Because being hurt once.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, hold on. Taught you that silence is safer than vulnerability. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
This is unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
Why? I'm going to ask you why.
Okay, it's just,
I don't know.
Well, Raven falls down that rabbit hole.
Because
Julie.
When you were open, someone made you feel small for feeling deeply.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, no.
Maybe
I wonder if it knows who did that.
Shut
right.
the laptop.
Just turn it off. Julie, what's your curse?
Mine says, you carry the weight of knowing too much, yet being understood too little.
Oh.
Okay, so now I would say why? Because your insight cuts deeper than most are willing to see.
What? That was deep.
Wow.
I feel like you should write a poem.
I feel like it just did for me.
Yeah.
Right. It's all a haiku. Right.
All right. So I asked ChatGPT, what is my curse? Don't explain. It says, always knowing the right thing to say 2 seconds too late. No kidding. No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Let's see what it says. Why? Because timing is your torment. The universe gave you wit, insight, and clarity, but not the moment to use them.
Oh, that's hurtful.
It's like when you have the comeback.
Do you
want to
feel better
argument?
About what
yeah.
it just told you?
Yeah.
I asked it why one more time.
Oh, what did it say about your loneliness?
Because they were afraid of their own depth. Why they hurt me, and breaking you was easier than facing themselves. This is a movie.
Ask for a name. Ask for who was the person that made me lonely for life.
Who was the person that hurt me?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
This is
good. What it says.
Yeah.
I hope it's somebody from high school.
The one you trusted most when you were still learning what trust meant.
Your mom?
Oh my gosh.
Mama!
Oh.
No.
Get her on the phone.
No, it was my first girlfriend.
Yeah.
He knows.
There's a right way and certainly a wrong way to visit a new baby.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. yesterday, congratulations to my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. Welcomed Lennon Jane. I guess I can say that out loud at this point right now because the post has been made. Everybody was on the group call and everybody got in visits. But Lennon Jane is a happy, healthy baby. 8.2 ounces. That's like old school baby weight. All right, Nicole.
What does that even mean?
Good job.
First of all, 8 all right. pounds, 2 ounces.
All right.
Not 8.2 ounces.
Well, you know what I mean.
And
like, you know, it's a sizable baby.
That's an old school butt. What the heck does that mean?
That's an old school weight right there. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time now, right? I mean, that's
no.
a lot of chicken.
No, that's definitely average.
Well, good job.
All right.
You know, good, you know, huge cheeks, here's, massive
okay.
cheeks.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Here's the thing.
Bendy neck. Gotta be careful.
Beautiful name, Lennon. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
Right. When you told me last night that you were going to meet the baby, yeah. I was like, he has no idea what he's doing. And I thought about it because there's a right way and a wrong way to go meet a new baby.
Okay.
First of all, you broke one of the rules right off the bat. It's like you have to ask permission to reveal information.
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess because they did the post, I can tell everybody. I don't know
I
if they met millions of people. Millions of people, you just told.
I hope that post went up.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't on a schedule.
So hold
delayed.
On. When you got there, what did you do?
First off, we had to go. For some reason, one of the entrances to the hospital was closed, so we had to go all the way around to the ER and park halfway down the street. We go through security, which was like a TSA checkpoint. It was legitimate.
When you got to the baby, Raven.
Okay, so when I got to the baby, I stood there against the wall for a while because there's a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was directed to a chair after Alicia had been holding the baby for a while, and then I was given the baby to hold.
Okay, did you ask before you held the baby? You say, is it okay?
They asked me if I wanted to hold the baby.
Okay.
And I said, yeah. And they asked me if I was afraid, and I said no, but right until that moment, I don't think I was until they said it. And then, like in my head, internally, I was like a little bit afraid.
I have to be honest. Yeah. I am a mother of two children.
Yeah.
I still get very nervous holding other people's babies.
I mean, when they're like
they're
super
so squiggly.
Baby.
They're
right.
squiggly, yeah. and their heads are all bouncing
yes,
around.
Yes, I like them when they're a little bit more durable.
Yeah.
I like them when like they're a toddler.
Did
you know?
You wash your hands before you touch the baby?
I did, okay. Because my wife was like, did you wash your hands?
Right. Yeah, she knows.
Yeah.
Did you compliment the parents immediately about how beautiful the baby is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
I told them a great job.
This is one that my family always had a hard time with whenever I had a baby. Oh, keep yeah. your visit short. You're supposed to only be there for 20 to 30 minutes. My family would camp out, and they would bring food.
Yeah.
And they would stay for hours.
There was a pizza. There was a bag. I saw a box of devil dogs in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was all sorts of stuff in there.
Here's the things that you should never do when you're visiting a baby. Let's see if you did any of these.
Good advice.
Don't visit if you're sick. That seems like an obvious one, right?
Yeah, of course not.
Don't wear strong perfume or smoke before visiting.
I don't do either of those things.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Good.
Don't give unsolicited advice.
I would never.
Well, you would not.
I would. There's, what could I tell you?
I've been a few of those rooms are very uncomfortable.
Yeah, what could I tell anybody?
Don't kiss the baby. Did you? You
no.
keep talking about the cheeks. You didn't touch the cheeks,
no,
right?
Didn't touch the cheeks.
Gosh, I had.
They kept trying to stick their foot out, though. Why can't they just make those blankets bigger? I don't know why. But, you know, but no, I didn't touch any cheeks.
And I saw that Alicia posted a picture of the baby, your wife, but you're not supposed to post pictures or talk about the name without getting advice, permission first.
Yeah, well, post, there must have been permission. Yeah.
Well, let's hope so. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
Either way, it's done now at this point,
over.
Right? Congrats, guys.
Do you still sleep with a lovey? Maybe your little stuffy from when you were a kid, a teddy bear, a blankie, possibly?
You know, I don't with any of those things, but I do cuddle with a pillow every night. It's
not
just
the same.
It's just a my pillow, so it's like kind of like Mike Lindell is my stuffy.
Weird.
I'm gonna send you the best pillow you could ever own.
Didn't we cancel him?
That's what I'm spooning with that guy.
Producer Julie, didn't he get canceled?
Yeah, he did get semi-canceled. I'm pretty sure he's locked up in some court cases.
Okay, yeah.
But you know what? A quality pillow and those Giza sheets, let me tell you.
That's so weird.
Real nice.
So what they found, and I thought this stat was really high, is that over 50% of adults still sleep with a childhood memento. And I
over 50%?
50%.
What?
Isn't that huge? And there's a reason for it. So I don't. My husband doesn't. But I remember my sister-in-law did. Like I remember like when, you know, when they first, and I'm talking 20
it?
Years ago. It was like a rabbit, like a little stuffed rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
And she had it. And then eventually she had it framed and hung in her bedroom because like it was falling apart at that point. But
it's like an open casket.
Yes. But there's a reason why people do this. And there's like a psychological reason behind it.
Okay.
So what they found.
Because they're weak?
No.
I'm just kidding.
That's not a nice thing. Don't you go to therapy, Raven?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Okay.
You know what? You're right. I take that back.
Okay.
It was just a joke.
So it turns out that when you let go of your childhood teddy bear, the brain never actually lets go of it. And it becomes a comfort item. So it activates brain pathways. If you still sleep with it, that helps you soothe, self-soothe, helps you sleep, lowers anxiety, and it calms your stress response.
I guess it's better than sucking your thumb until you're 40.
Enough about that.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, that matches up for me. So I had a night. It was a crocheted pink blanket that was about 20 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they cut it into travel night so I could bring it where I wanted to go. I got rid of it like when I was 8 after I stopped sucking my thumb at 8.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that was a trigger for you. I'm sorry.
But that's so funny. To fill that void, I got a sloth at 21 that I sleep with every night.
Yes.
I love that you as an adult made a decision that I have to go out and procure myself a sloth.
I actually asked my mom to get it for me.
Mom, I've been thinking.
But it makes sense. It makes a whole lot of sense because your brain, it connects it with safety and the touch of it matters. So Hayden, my 16-year-old, I asked her about this because we've had a roller coaster ride with her stuffy.
Oh boy.
Hayden, tell me about Orange.
I love Orange.
Yeah, but who is he or she or whatever it is?
Orange is my orange seahorse stuffed animal that I got when I was 4 months old at a fair.
And why is Orange so important?
Because I've had Orange since I was 4 months old. I slept with Orange every night.
And where is Orange now?
In my bed.
Are you going to bring Orange to college with you?
No.
You gonna be all right without it?
Maybe.
You can hear like the nerves.
Do you
in
know
voice.
The story of Orange and how many times Anna has tried to replace?
Oh my God.
Had really? To replace.
So if you're a parent of somebody that of a child that has a lover, you know how important it is. Like they become so incredibly attached. And Hayden was my kid that was attached. And we got that thing at a carnival, right? And she was inseparable from it. When she was three, we went to Sesame Place on vacation and she lost it. Do you know that we had to cut the trip short and go home?
Yep.
Because she couldn't sleep. She was a disaster. And then I had to replace it. But remember, it's a carnival toy.
Right.
So I had to order a case of them. I had about 30 orange seahorses show up.
This is a true story.
Yeah. And like, what, and I, in my mind, I was like, I have to keep rotating them so she can't tell the difference. But she knew right away.
The smell gave it away.
Yeah. She was like, absolutely not. So one, she rebroke in, which is the orange that she has now.
Good.
All the other ones I've just distributed to children throughout my life. I don't know, if you've got a story about your lovey or you're a parent and you have one, 1-800-330-9999. Do you still sleep with a lovey, a stuffy, maybe a blankie from when you were a kid? If you do, you're not alone. I was shocked to find that 50% of Americans still sleep with some kind of childhood memento.
That sounds absolutely nuts.
That sounds
to me,
like
to tell
a lot,
yeah.
Right? But there's scientific reasons for it. They say that it helps self-soothing, helps put you to bed, lowers the anxiety, calms your stress response. There's a lot of psychological benefits to sleeping with it. And I kept thinking about it because I never had one, but my older daughter does. Even at 16 years old, it still stays in her bed from when she was 4 months old. And as a parent, whenever you find somebody's lovey, like on the street at the grocery store.
Oh, you feel terrible. You gotta do all that you can to get it back to them.
You know that there's a family out there that's in crisis right now, you know? How about you? Do you have any experience with a lovey? What happened? Or do you still have one? And what's its name? 1-800-330-9999. Leslie.
Yeah, we have three stuffed monkey, and my child Phoenix calls them Momo because Momo has been with her since birth, and my husband had to buy Momo, and we had to replace, and we went and we found Momo, and Phoenix still has Momo to this day, and Phoenix is leaving for Boston to go to college, and definitely going to be taking all three Momos with her. So
just three Momos.
With her.
Yeah. Three Momos.
Very
just
similar.
In case.
So Leslie, after I learned my lesson, because my older daughter, when we lost Orange, it was a disaster. When my little one was born, she got attached to Henrietta's, which was a hippo.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately went and bought six more. But you want to know what? She never really long-term attached to it. It's like it's not a big deal anymore. And it's funny because you never know which kids are going to be super attached and which ones are going to be able to come and go with it.
The multiple Momos. Did you have a couple on backup and then she discovered they were there in the house and was like, no, all these Momos need to be out and being loved equally?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The fur is so matted.
Yeah.
But she would hold the tail and just rub the tail between her thumb and finger every night, and she just falls asleep with Momo. So
I mean, that won't be hard to explain to a roommate at college.
Louisa, how about you? Do you still sleep with your stuffy, your lovey?
I have it in my room, actually, so I don't sleep with it. It's Animal from the Muppets.
Oh.
And my cousin gave him to me to remind me, especially because it's a puppet, so I can put my hand up in there and do crazy things with it. And it's just to remind me that I'm always loved, even though I feel like the black sheep of the family is kind of a wild animal.
What crazy things do you do with your puppet?
This is revealing.
I know.
This is like the looks into people's family and the personal dynamics here. We're like, but fair question. What is it you do with that?
Actually, one of my favorite things is the Manamana song. Mm-hmm. So you get Animal in there and Manamana, and then I go doo doo.
Yeah, and you do that.
Yeah, so I talk with him every once in a while.
I mean, the family conflict's interesting. I could see you sticking it on your hand, too, and reenacting some of your interactions with your siblings or parents or whatever.
Yeah, Animal can go crazy and get up in there.
Louis, you still sleep with a stuffy, or you just still have it around?
I still have my stuffy.
What is it?
What is it exactly?
It's a Smokey the Bear.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know they made them.
You know that's old.
Yeah. Wait, Louis,
only you could prevent forest fires.
Wait, have you seen a Smokey the Bear billboard lately?
He's back and he's ripped.
He's hot.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the billboard.
Oh, you gotta
see
it.
I have seen the commercials. I have seen some commercials.
You've seen it at Smokey the Bear is now good looking, right? You've seen that?
I saw it. I was getting gas and I looked up and I said, oh my, my.
Yeah.
I said,
smoldering.
What? When does he have a six pack? He's a bear. It doesn't even make
any
sense.
Olympic. It's the Olympic.
That's right. That's right. It slimmed him down a little bit. He got rid of some of the water weight. Now look at him.
Does your lovey have a six pack just for curiosity?
No, he's still kind of stuffy. I mean, his arm is kind of, halfway off, but he's still stuffy.
Yeah, but not ripped like the new Smokey the Bear.
He's ripped. His arm is ripped. But
right. That's different.
Literally ripped. Such sad news. Terrible when you hear things like this happening. You always wonder, why? Why would something like this happen? Malcolm Jamal Warner passed away. He's best known as Theo from The Cosby Show. Remember this?
How do you expect to get into college with grades like this?
See, I'm not going to college.
Damn right.
I am going to get through high school and then get a job like regular people.
So what you're saying is your mother and I shouldn't care if you get D's because you don't need good grades to be regular people.
Right.
If you want to watch The Cosby Show and go catch up, you can't. Good luck. So it used to be streaming on Amazon and Peacock, but when Bill Cosby got sentenced, they pulled everything and they say they're not bringing any of it back.
Well, it would pay him. You know what? It's interesting because Theo Huxtable, as the character Malcolm Jamal Warner, was a guy who was like my age. And so growing up and watching him, grow up on television too for such a long running group of programs, it's interesting to see that, right? You connect to that person.
Right. And,
a sad story.
It's
good,
tragic.
Good man. I mean, when you look at, the history and what he was doing with his family and whatnot, good man.
Yeah. So he drowned in a riptide while on a vacation in Costa Rica. He's with his wife and his daughter, only 54 years old. And, you think about it, you're just going to have a good time. The last picture of him is someone, a fan took of him at the airport, because they recognized him in doing that. And it's so sad. And the thing about child actors, because he's ranked number 32 on the list of the 100 greatest kid stars of all time.
Who even knew that this list existed?
Right.
Okay.
I actually want to look up who's higher than him. I would think top 10, but okay. Well,
you're going to go in and debate the board?
No.
There's going to have to be a meeting.
I mean, Theo Huxtable is iconic. If you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you knew who Theo was.
Who was your favorite TV sibling? Who would you want to be your brother or sister? Because Theo would be, he'd be high on that list. He'd be pretty good. Michael J. Fox was a big one for me. Justine Bateman, though, as his sister, always seemed a little bit weird.
I was really into Married with Children.
Okay.
So I think I always I loved Kelly
Bud and
Bundy.
Kelly.
Now, I always thought, because actually I would think Bud was a lot like my brother. And I just hope that I was not like Kelly Bundy growing up. I hope. I don't know. But, the thing about Malcolm Jamal Warner that a lot of people don't realize is that you always hear these stories about these child stars and all the terrible things that happen afterwards.
Right. They get exposed to it. And then, they had demons to deal with.
Right. Now, he had a podcast all about mental health in the urban community. And he did a lot about mental health. But he pretty much stayed out of the limelight, even though he constantly was in shows.
Yeah.
People don't realize he was in Malcolm and Eddie. He was in Read Between the Lines. He had reoccurring roles on Suits and Sons of Anarchy and American Horror Story and American Crime Story. He did a lot of stuff. He even won a Grammy.
He got to pick and choose, which is, cool, right? Obviously. It never really changed all that much as far as his look and whatnot. When you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, I recognize him.
Absolutely. So, it's a sad day, and I just feel terrible for his family. And he was always with his mom. His mom was always in interviews, too. Mm-hmm. So, our condolences to the entire family. Should men wear Speedos, and are you body-shaming the man that wants to free his thighs?
What?
Yeah, there's a guy that's leading the revolution of Speedos.
There is a dad who is basically making a plea saying that we need to free the thighs for men's. He is pro Speedos for dads. He says, look, it's less resistance when you're swimming, but also we should get to feel comfortable and free too.
So
less resistance when you're swimming.
Less resistance.
I mean, I don't do enough swimming to be worried about my resistance rate when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a pool dipper than I am a swimmer.
Do you ever feel like your thighs are just being just held back from their potential?
No, I will say this, though. As an adult, you start to bend. Like, the guys that I know, all of them, we all wear, expensive underwear now. What? Like, the older you get, the more expensive your underwear becomes because you want to be comfortable.
But Speedos. I'm not talking about your Mutans.
I wouldn't do it.
I'm talking about Speedos.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, is it just for swimming, or are we talking about, like, you know, straight style for underwear, too, every day?
No, just for swimming, Raven.
No, Speedos. That's not happening. I'm not doing that.
Jenna Hager-Bush, she has, like, 17 shows right now, and they were talking about this.
When I'm on vacation, I see guys walking with the Speedo. It's like, what are you doing, bro? Why are you trying to show us every? We don't want to see all that.
By the way, I agree. And if my husband brought out a Speedo, I'd be shocked. By the way, a man thigh?
Yeah, like hairy man thigh?
Yeah, no thank you. That's right.
So she said that, and now the internet has given her so much backlash, and they said that Jenna Hager-Bush is body shaming men.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an American thing that we don't wear them. A lot of other cultures do.
Last year when I went to Italy.
Yeah. Oh, they must have been everywhere, right?
Yeah. All the guys are wearing Speedos.
Of course.
Yeah. So I asked my husband about this.
Old school Speedos. What do you think about men that wear those?
They're probably European.
No. There's plenty of guys. I'm looking at a picture online right now of a guy that's trying to make them trendy again. What do you think?
I'm deflecting the question. I don't think a guy should wear them in public.
Do you feel like you need to release your thighs?
I feel like you should have good looking legs if you're going to wear a Speedo.
So, but you're okay with it if you have good-looking legs. Would you wear one, yes or no?
No.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like a bodybuilding competition, you expect those dudes to be there. You also expect no hair on the thighs and the glutes that are like, you know, the size of a tractor trailer. That's different.
Remember a couple of years ago when short shorts for men was really in?
Yeah, they were like, we're going to go with like a 5-inch inseam.
And I don't...
No, like, thanks.
I'm never body shaming anybody because, like, you do you. Whatever feels good to you makes me happy.
Of course.
But when I was seeing those thighs everywhere, it was a little bit jarring. And I yelled at myself in my own head because if a woman is wearing short shorts, she's wearing her booty shorts, right?
It's her business.
I don't look twice. Great.
That's right.
Yeah, she's got short shorts on. But if a guy wants to wear short shorts, all of a sudden, I can't stop looking at his hairy thighs.
No, I turned into a prude also on this. I was just like, no, we don't need that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's keep it a little bit more conservative. All right.
But why all above around the world is everybody okay with guys wearing Speedos? But for some reason here in America, it's weird. Why?
We're repressed. What can I tell you? All right. We're repressed.
If I buy a Speedo, would you take a picture and post it on Instagram?
No. No. This is what you wanted to come up with this entire time?
What if we just see?
No.
What if you love it? What if you love to free your thighs? What amount of money for you to parade around in a Speedo? They do it on the European beaches for free.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. I mean, not money that's in this show's budget. No. I mean, big money.
$20.
No.
I have $20.
It's not even close to enough money.
$50.
That is, again, not even close.
$50 and a scratch-off ticket.
I was thinking tens of thousands. Oh. You better scratch that ticket and see what kind of result you get before you come back to me for negotiation.
All right, we don't have that kind of budget. Well, you're a party pooper, Raven. You're a party pooper.
I'm sorry.
It's about to get super deep around here.
Okay.
It's not often that an athlete says something so enlightening during a press conference that you start questioning all your life decisions, but that happened this week.
Okay, what took place?
So, Scottie Scheffler is the world's top-ranked golfer. He's a big deal in the golf world.
He's on a tear.
Yeah. On Sunday, he won the British Open by 4 strokes. He's the only going to be the fourth American to ever win the British Open, the Masters, and the PGA Championship before turning 30. He's only 29 years old.
And didn't he win these like in the last year or two?
Yes.
Crazy.
Here's the thing. If he can win the U.S. Open next year, which happens to be on June 21st, his birthday, he's going to have a career Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Raven?
Some people search their whole life to get that.
He doesn't care. He doesn't really care. He has figured out at 29 years old what I've spent an entire lifetime learning.
What's that?
It feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that kind of euphoric feeling. And you win it, you celebrate, get to hug my family, my sister's there. It's such an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we going to eat for dinner? Life goes on.
It's so true. It's like you work for those moments and then they're so fleeting.
Well, I mean, yes, you want to live in the moment a little bit more, but there's some, you know, type personalities too, where you're just not going to celebrate your victories that big, right? And listen, his head's in the right place. Got a new baby, got a good family. Stick with that.
Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yeah, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about, because it's literally worked my entire life to become good at this sport, and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? You know, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, you know, places of your heart.
What?
It's not from the deepest
places of your heart.
I mean, again, he's super successful at this age. He might feel differently when he's 40, right? Mm-hmm. And still think about legacy and so forth like that as he sees his children grow.
I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life, but does it fill the deepest, you know, wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not.
Don't you feel like so many of us go to work every single day? You have careers, you have goals, you have things that you want to accomplish in your life. And then as they become true, you just keep setting the goal line further and further away.
Yeah, you move the line.
You never are truly, truly happy. And I have to be honest with you, Raven.
Yeah.
Is that whenever somebody asks me, well, what do you do for fun? I'm always like,
you don't have an answer.
I never have an answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do I do for fun?
You should take up golfing. You should try professional golfing.
So he has an answer on what makes him happy.
I love being a father. I love being able to take care of my son. I love being able to provide for my family out here playing golf. And, you know, that's why I talk about families being my priority, because it really is. You know, I'm blessed to be able to come out here and play golf. But if my golf ever started affecting my home life, or it ever affected the relationship I have with my wife or with my son, you know, that's going to be the last day that I play out here for a living.
That's what I'm going to say. When people say, what do you do for fun? I'm going to say, watch my kids do stuff. Because that's what makes me happy.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, all that makes sense. And obviously, he's got a great freeing feeling because he's made millions of dollars already by this age, that he can do that. The second golf isn't fun for him. He can be like, all right, I'm out. And he'll feel accomplished anyways because he is.
Do you think that only people that are rich I have to say that? Because I was thinking about it. I go, well, the minute that my job starts affecting my home life, I go, I still have to go to work tomorrow because I have to pay my mortgage. There's no walking away, you know?
I think it's healthy to set yourself or, you know, look at your accomplishments and say that I've left it all out there. On the other hand, you know, closure is a personal thing for each person. He's obviously doing well with it.
Yeah.
You know?
He's got it all figured out. The funny part is that during the entire press conference, everybody's just staring at him like a deer in headlights. They're like, what is this dude talking about? And in my mind, I'm like, I got you.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Write a book.
Mm-hmm. There's just certain times in your life when you drive like a 90-year-old nervous grandmother. And Raven learned that pretty much the hard way.
Yeah, I'm a fast driver. I'm what I would call an aggressive driver. I'm a good driver. Well, I used to be better, to tell you the truth.
He's an awful driver.
I'm paying less attention nowadays.
His car is all banged up.
My eyes are not as good as they used to be.
He hits curbs and pretends like it's completely normal.
You know what? I'm undercutting curbs, all right? I just feel like it's better to be closer. But I was babysitting the other day, and that's no big deal. Like, I do solo babysitting all the time. I'm a guy that can be trusted with his grandson. I know how to handle things. But here's the thing. It was the first time I had to drive him anywhere.
Mm.
I was also driving my wife's car. So I go and I put the baby in the car. And as I'm doing that, like, I have to check the seat, like, seriously, like 5 or 6 times.
Yep.
And he's kind of like looking at me like, Grandpa, what are we doing here? He's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like at some point we got to get going.
He's like, this rookie.
Hot air conditioning going or whatever. And to be fair, he's not fighting me, which sometimes he does with his mom or with Gigi. But, you know, he's cool with it, but he's like, all right, let's get this thing going. I finally get him in the seat. I get the car going. We get on the highway, and I had to go like, I don't know, 8 to 10 miles, and I was in the slow lane the entire time. Mm-hmm. 10 and 2, hands on the wheel, cars driving by me, and I'm like, where are you going in such a hurry?
Yes.
Why don't you just calm down and relax over there?
Precious cargo, Raven. That's what we call it.
It was nerve-wracking. I got to tell you, I don't know if I want to do it again.
Driving with a baby in the car has to be one of the top reasons why you drive like a nervous grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
But there's other reasons. I've come up with the top 5 reasons that you drive like you would not normally drive. Like, okay, you're all of a sudden unable to reach the gas pedal.
This is for me or any other, like a regular person?
All of us.
Okay.
All of us.
Uh-huh.
Number 5, funeral procession. Is there anything more awkward than being in a funeral procession where you're just crawling, but you have to look like you don't know if you should turn the radio on or not. So you just like sit there in silence awkwardly while you watch all the people in front of you and you go through the red lights.
And that's the thing is, I don't care how much of the convoy you're in, going through all the red lights, taking the turns left when you're not supposed to or whatever always feels weird. And the only thing more awkward is being the person that's also trying to get through that intersection.
Yes.
And you're not part of the funeral.
All right. Top five times you drive like a nervous grandmother. Number four, when you're going for your driver's license.
Oh,
Hayden is going. She's going to kill me for saying this. My daughter's going for her driver's license tomorrow.
Why are you even talking about it?
I don't know why I said it out loud.
All right. Don't jinx anything.
Right.
She's going to do great.
She's definitely. She's fantastic. She's doing a great job. But when she drives, and she drives like 23 miles per hour to 25, I tell her, that's fine for the driver's license. But after, you got to like at least drive 3 miles over the speed limit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're supposed to say that, but okay.
Number three, first time you drive your new car or a rental car. You always drive it slow and super, super safely.
Yeah. The funny thing about the rental car is people say drive it like you stole it. You get in a car and the first day that you get in a rental car, you're like, oh, this is a nice car. I better take care of it. By the second or third day, you realize it's a piece of junk and everybody else has been beating it. So why not you?
Top five times you drive like a nervous grandmother, besides when you have a newborn in the car like Raven did.
Mm.
Number two, right after you witness a crash. All of a sudden, when you see like a car get into hit with another car and it's a bad crash, you become the safest driver on the road.
Yeah. Where am I going? Why am I such in a hurry? It doesn't make sense. It's not worth it. Let me slow down. And then 3 miles more down the road,
you're back to normal.
Yeah, you're back to speeding again.
And the number one reason why you drive like a 90-year-old nervous grandmother, there's a cop up ahead or there's one driving right behind you. It's the worst when there's a cop behind you.
Imagine when you have somewhere that you have to be and they're behind you the entire way. And you know your car is legal, but for some reason, you're so paranoid.
When you move over so they could go around you, but they don't. They just keep going behind you. You're like, no, I'm cool. I'm cool, dude. Like,
you flinch for a minute and you think you're going to be on the side of the road trying to walk heel to toe.
Three trending stories all about updates and changes coming to major companies. First, Southwest.
Come January 27th of next year, Southwest Airlines will give assigned seating to its passengers. It's the very first time that's happened in the nearly six decades Southwest has existed. Gone is the Love Airlines' famous open seating policy.
Bye-bye.
You know, here's the thing. I've only flown Southwest a few times, and every time it was a pleasant experience, I have to say. But I only took advantage of the unassigned seating like only one time was it really fortuitous for me. The rest, I feel like I was kind of assigned.
They also got rid of free checked bags. So
yeah, like everybody's up in arms about this stuff.
Yeah.
The big changes.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that it makes it just like every other airline now.
I mean,
the only things that made it separate was that your bags fly free and you pick your seat when you get there. I'm good with it. I'm too anal. I can't even imagine.
Same.
I did it one time, and it was a girls' trip, which is the only reason, because if I had to be by myself somewhere, it didn't matter.
Similar circumstances for me, too.
But as a parent, I can't imagine just getting on a plane and, like, hoping I get all of us together.
Yeah. It seems like a mess to me, yeah.
So to me, I'm like, all right, yeah, I guess this all makes sense.
But some people really upset.
Yeah. Up next, Starbucks.
We're talking about the pumpkin spice latte.
Woo!
Starbucks is revealing the date. The pumpkin spice latte will return to stores of August 26th this year. The coffee chain's most popular seasonal beverage will be back on the menu.
Here we are.
I can't.
Already pumpkin having this spice discussion.
Pumpkin spice latte, to me, I don't get it. It was first released 10 years ago. It's its 10th anniversary. This is the first time in the last 10 years that they actually set the date back for the release. It's 4 days later than it was last year, which is good because I don't know how it's still August and 1,000 degrees and you're talking about fall.
Is pumpkin spice the release of whoever does it first? Is that actually the unofficial end of summer?
I don't know.
Right?
Like,
is this the new marker? Not when everybody, because people go back to school at different times, right? All those things vary. Is pumpkin spice the new barometer?
We're talking about the pumpkin spice latte.
I mean,
I guess.
I don't think it's that good. I don't think it's that delicious.
All right, hot take.
Yeah, hot
unpopular
take.
Opinion.
Yeah. And finally, this isn't cool. If you shop at Target, you're probably familiar with this.
For up to 14 days, if you showed proof the item you bought was cheaper on Amazon, Walmart, or even their own website, Target would match it.
And now they're not going to do that anymore.
I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, so up to 14 days after you buy something, if you can show that the price is cheaper on any of the major retailers, Amazon, Walmart, or even their own website, if they roll back a price, they would give you money back. And now that's gone. And there's a lot of reasons why, but the number one reason is because of tariffs and things that are going up. And the fact that they had to do this says a lot, because there's a lot of confidence base in the target customers, and they know this is going to upset a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that they had to financially to help keep the company afloat, because the prices are going to, you know, they're going to be reflected in all the things that are coming our way.
I mean, the business market is always changing, right? And Target has had to deal with several changes before that. I just feel like a fool because I never was aware of this before.
Well, good news. You have about 3 days to take care to take advantage of it before these new rules go into effect. If you're planning on traveling anytime soon in the next few weeks, you're going to want to hear this. Something is happening, Raven. Something in the universe.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Mercury is officially retrograde as of July 17th until August 11th.
Oh! And
let's just all take a breath for a second here. We have all survived thousands of Mercury retrogrades through our entire lifetime,
yeah.
Okay? And you are going to survive this one. I do not want you to be fearful.
Raven, are you fearful of Mercury retrograde?
I'm not, because most of the time I don't even know when it's going on until you tell me.
It's going on right now.
Okay,
until
great.
August 11th. But there could be things that happen all the way up to August 25th.
Today, I'm going to take you through exactly what you should not be doing from now until August 11th during this Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, it's important
all
because
right.
If you do these things, everything screws up. Now, if you're not familiar with Mercury retrograde...
So retrograde is when a planet appears to move backward in the sky. And basically, it's not actually moving backwards. Like, it's not really. It's just appearing to us. It's kind of like an optical illusion.
So it looks like Mercury is going backwards in the sky, but it's...
But it's all made up.
It's all made up in our heads.
That's even
yeah,
better.
Right.
That's great.
But there's things. They believe. Everyone believes
yeah.
that Mercury retrograde...
Not everyone.
A lot of people believe.
Thank you.
That when Mercury is in retrograde, that's when all the mistakes happen. They always say there's certain things you should never do during mm-hmm. retrograde. You're not supposed to buy a house. You're not supposed to do, you know, big contracts.
Who but is this person that's telling us?
She is an astronomer on YouTube.
Okay.
And if you go, there are many of them.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But they all say that these three things are the triggers for this Mercury retrograde.
Okay.
So usually during Mercury retrograde, it is a hot spot for just miscommunication. Reread everything before you send it.
All about sending the wrong emails and the wrong text messages.
You know what I did? I was in the car the other day and I did a push to text thing and I sent it to a client of mine and it had swears in it and everything. It was insane.
Yeah. Do you want to know why? Mercury retrograde.
I guess.
You didn't double check.
Darn you, Mercury retrograde.
When you're sending emails and text messages, you are warned right now. Double check, because this is when miscommunication happens.
Okay.
Second thing, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Check exactly what you're packing. Make sure you check your flights like 10 times over. Like, you want to be double checking absolutely everything.
Oh, there's chaos going on if you're traveling. You got to check your flight. You got to make sure you packed everything. Triple check, because there's a good chance you're going to leave it behind.
Actually, make sure that you show up to the airport 2-3 hours ahead of time, I mm-hmm. guess. That's that advice. Okay, and what's the third one?
Or you could be literally at the hair salon and you could be showing a picture of like what you want to get done for the first time to your hairdresser, and they could be completely taking it a whole different way because their perception could be a lot different than yours, and it's hard to communicate during Mercury
yeah,
retrograde. And Mercury is perception, so you can maybe not get the haircut or the hair color that you wanted.
Don't get your hair cut right now
because your hairdresser is hallucinating.
That's 100%. There is a miscommunication. So what have we learned? Double check your emails.
Yeah.
Make sure your flight is on time and
right.
you've packed everything you said. And most importantly, don't get a haircut.
Right. Just stay home.
Just right.
Skip that appointment
yes.
for now. Wow.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Going to take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about. Then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams July summer sale and get 30% off paints and stains. Now through the 28th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Steve and Angie. Angie, what's going on?
So we have a 10-year-old son, and he invites our neighbor kid over like every day to hang out. Our son doesn't want to go to their house because they don't have like the cool toys, the video games that we've been able to provide our son. But then our son's friends just eats a lot of our food, and Steve seems to have a problem with that.
Steve, what's the problem with that?
Well, you know, the reason that we're able to provide all the amazing things that his friend loves to have when he comes over is because we are careful with the way that we spend our money, and we do it the right way. And so this kid comes over and he eats us out of house and home. You know, our own kid doesn't eat that much. At a certain point, we have to send a message. You know, it's not about like the money. It's about like, you know, a kid's got to learn boundaries. I don't want to parent the kid for him, but like, you can't teach a kid that he can just go to a friend's house and just keep taking resources, right?
Wait, this kid is just coming over your house and eating all your food? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Could we be helping kids that are less fortunate than ours?
I don't think he's that much less fortunate. I mean, he seems very fortunate, you know, especially when I see him down there with all the rappers.
Wait, how much food is this kid eating?
You would not believe it. You ever buy the big, those boxes of Kind bars? The dense.
I mean, they're not cheap either. They're not giving them away. But how many Kind bars are we talking about? How many is he eating?
Like, this is like 10 in a sitting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I came home and Kind bars is one of the things that I take to work, and one day I have a full box, and the next day I come home and there's none in the box, and I say, where'd they go? And you go, oh, it was my friend. Like, yeah, that's going to be an issue. Listen, if that happens time, I go, oh my God, I'll laugh about it, whatever. If that happens 3 times a week, like, that's something else. And it sounds pricey. Angie, I kind of see your point, though. Like, I mean, we don't know where this kid's coming from.
So both of his parents work, and they're kind of like off schedules. So like, he works during the day, she works at night, and so they can't really provide the guidance that he needs to learn how to eat properly. He doesn't eat vegetables. He doesn't eat fruits. He doesn't get proper nutrition there.
Yeah, but so, I mean, it sounds like he's coming over to your house and eating candy and snacks also. It's not like he's coming over and he's making chicken and broccoli. Like, I mean, and I still think it's not up to you to manage what somebody else is eating if you've never had a conversation with the other parents. If the parents you knew, if there was some sort of food insecurity, of course you would have no problem feeding this kid. And sitting down for a meal is different than clearing out the snack cabinet.
Steve, you want to tell him to stop eating your food? Is that what you want to happen?
Yes. I mean, we need to tell him that we're not a grocery store and he can't just help himself to the pantry whenever he wants.
If you're invited, it is one thing. If you're making an assumption and just coming over and you know, grabbing food, that's something else, right?
I mean, it's interesting because nothing makes me happier than when like my nephews and my nieces come over.
You want to provide.
And they just go in and they just help themselves.
Yeah.
They know where the pantry is and they go and they help themselves. I love that.
Yeah, but day after day after day.
I could see where if it's not your family.
Right.
Where you're like, okay, you like, how much am I going to feed this kid?
Yeah, things add up.
And what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Would it bother you if your son had his best friend come over every day, but his best friend just ate all the food in the house, went in the pantry and just cleaned it out every single day? That's a problem with Stevie and Angie, because Steve says we gotta tell this kid, you gotta stop eating all our food.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. And Angie just says, listen, we don't know what the conditions are over at his place. Maybe there's some food insecurity going on there or whatever. She doesn't have a lot of other reason to back that up. He's like, this is all snacks. I come in, there's just wrappers after wrappers after wrappers on the floor. It's disrespectful. Two things about this that would bother me. And I mean, obviously, if you have the money, who cares? Right? That's not the main focus. If it's specific things that you stock for yourself and they're just being taken without anybody talking about it or asking, that would be bothersome. And the other thing is just the frequency, right? If you feel like it's not being smart or, you know, you're doing it well for them, then what's the point?
10 years wasteful. Old. I mean, I feel like at 10 years old, that's what you do. That's the fun part, right? You just eat snacks. I don't see a problem with it, but what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Ray.
If anyone come to my house, whether it be a stranger or family, there's food they're taking.
But what if they come every day?
I don't care.
That's awfully generous of you.
I've always been that way since I know myself. Anyone comes over, whether it be a stranger, every day, doesn't matter. Food, people need it, people wanted to eat it. When they waste it, that's a different story.
Well, I do hate the thought of food waste. On the other hand, I mean, everybody has bills to pay, right, Anna?
I mean, that's true. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Would it bother you if your friend's son came to your home every day and ate all the food in your pantry? The couple's court verdict is powered by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. 10 years old. That's Steve and Angie's son, and he has a friend come over very often.
It's like every day. They come over there, they play the video games, they hang out in the afternoon.
And Steve has a real problem because his kid just eats all the food, and he's like, we got to tell his kids, stop eating everything in the fridge and the pantry. It's not cool.
Yeah, listen, when you come home and you're thinking to yourself, like, you know, I've got my snacks, I did my food prep for the week or whatever, you know, and then you come home and you find out that those things are gone. Time after time, it does add up, but more so than that, it can just be an annoyance at that point, right? You just say, listen, this is not the way that we're supposed to be doing this.
Angie says, we don't know what his life is like at home. It's some granola bars. It's snacks. What's the big deal? What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Geraldyn.
I agree with the dad. I think they should just make a snack box for the kids, or once in a while ask them over for dinner, and that would solve the problem.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And that's a practical choice, right? Like, let's come up with some things that they can snack on that they'll have a little bit more control over that, frankly, cost us a little bit less, right?
And let's put a padlock on the pantry door.
Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously.
Right. Rico, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I find myself one time I was down and out and I didn't have and people gave and I was like the dad.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got myself in a position of being beneficial, it changed my heart and realized that there are some people you're given that opportunity to bless others and not question it. You just don't know what's going on over there, and you really should be able to pay forward what was given to you and just remember where you came from, because you never know what's really going on, like they're saying, at the child's house. So if you can provide, even if it's something that's not really important, like snacks, then so be it. They come and go, but you doing something for this kid might actually be beneficial to be like, hey, and he'll pass on also when he gets older and be someone of servitude.
Well, I think it's important to remember, Rico, too, is that, you know, when you've had bad times and you've overcome them, you never know what the future will hold, too.
Lynn, whose side are you on?
Well, I'm on the other side with the... And the first thing is, just because parents work different shifts, which my husband and I always did, doesn't mean that your kids don't eat right. You have to have the food in the house for them to eat, and you have to, two adults have to feed them. One on one shift, the other on the other shift. And the other thing is, the kid is eating 10 of those bars. He's hungry for, like, real food.
Mm.
So if you want to help him, make him a sandwich. Lock up the snacks. The kid has to ask.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Steve, our audience agreed with you today. I think that there needs to be a conversation with your son, being like, we can't just keep giving all our food away. Food costs money. And maybe when so-and-so comes over, we could put a couple things aside for you guys to share. But that's really it. That might be the way to handle it.
That sounds like a good idea.
Except, I don't know, is your son going to be awkward about it?
He'll be okay.
I think that at the very least here, Angie, like, you got to pay attention to this, right? Like, because, you know, you could be right. There could be food insecurity over there, and God forbid, because you would feel absolutely horrific. On the other hand, there are snacks, there are things, resources that would make more sense than them just going in and him grabbing whatever he wants or whatever, right? So, you know, at least some sort of conversation starting with your son and maybe both of them at once is not such a terrible idea.
Maybe not. I mean, I guess they are old enough to understand that.
All right. Well, we wish you the best. And if anybody else has a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,600 thanks to Wayfair. Shop outdoor furniture, grills, lawn games, and way more for way less. Head to Wayfair.com right now to explore huge outdoor selection. That's Wayfair.com. Wayfair, every style, every home. Okay, we've got Mary and Monty. Guys, ready to play today?
We're ready.
Let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, you two. $2,600.
All right, here we go.
Woo-hoo.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
Yes.
Remember, if you're not sure, just guess the first thing that comes into your mind, okay?
Okay.
Number one, the original bike from Pee-wee's Big Adventure will be permanently displayed at the Alamo. Pee-wee would wear a gray suit and what color bow tie?
Red.
Number two, the new Superman has surpassed $400 million globally. What is the name of Superman's home planet?
Krypton.
Number three, Khloe Kardashian celebrated her 41st birthday by having a Care Bear-themed pool party with her kids, two of her sisters, and her mom. Which Care Bear is known for having a rainbow on its belly?
Happy Bear.
Number four, Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey is already selling out movie theater tickets, even though it won't be released until next July. Who is the god of the sea that makes Odysseus's journey difficult?
The god of the sea is
Poseidon.
Number five, the new viral trend where people are crouched down in sky-high high heels, balancing on one leg over the other, is attributed to what rapper's 2013 music video for the song High School?
Drake.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Mary Amonte.
Pretty good. Not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Might be enough. Number one, the original bike from Pee-wee's Big Adventure will be permanently displayed at the Alamo.
Heard that.
Pee-wee would wear a gray suit and what color bow tie?
Red bow tie.
Yep. Number two, the new Superman has surpassed $400 million globally. What is the name of Superman's home planet?
Krypton.
Yes. Number three, Khloe Kardashian celebrated her 41st birthday by having a Care Bear-themed pool party with her kids, two of her sisters, and her mom.
Nice.
Which Care Bear is known for having a rainbow on its belly?
Is that the Cheer Bear?
Cheer Bear is right.
Yes.
Number four, Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey is already selling out movie theater tickets, even though it's not going to be released until next July.
What a trip.
It's a really interesting marketing ploy because, people get hyped. And they feel like they have to get their tickets or they're not going to be able to see it. And it's working. It's selling out across the country.
Keeps it in the news. Also means money is taken care of before it even comes out.
Who is the god of the sea that makes Odysseus' journey difficult?
Neptune?
No, Poseidon.
Oh, that dirty Poseidon.
And number five, the new viral trend where people are crouching down in sky-high heels, balancing with one leg over the other, is attributed to what rapper's 2013 music video for the song High School?
Megan Thee Stallion.
Nicki Minaj.
All right, I'm sorry.
All right. If you haven't seen this viral trend, by the way, I don't know how women are not killing themselves. They're standing on like two dumbbells stacked on top of each other on top of a counter with like a can of Diet Coke, and they have to balance on their high heels while crouching down.
That's not CGI?
Yeah, producer Julie wants to try it. I have a rebuilt knee. I don't know if I can do it. All right, Mary and Monty, you guys tied at 3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Good game.
It's Mary and Monty, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you two. $2,700 tomorrow, Anna.